Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good afternoon. It's Todd here, WTIC. We get to hang out for a few hours, bang around some issues. Let's do it. 860-522-9842. Don't forget about the rant line, 24-7, 751-4698. You can call it any time. Leave your rant. And you can call almost any time during the show and do your rant or do a conversation with me live. You've got two options there now. There is so much going on in this crazy world. It just keeps getting richer and crazier all the time. Mary Trump, the president's niece, all over television. Why does her opinion matter? Who cares about another person telling us how crazy the president is? Haven't we had 3.5 years of him as president? Can't we determine that all by ourselves? And wait till the focus shifts to President Trump. What else? Well, there's going to be a legislative session, special session. Four bills they're going to consider next week. And that will police accountability, they're calling it, and expanding absentee ballot access. These are two very controversial things. Inappropriate, appropriate things. It's up to you to decide. Affordable housing. I don't know. This stuff is craziness. The bill on policing mirrors Lamont's executive order on the state police regarding accountability, community policing, and increased training for officers for interactions with members of the minority community. In case they haven't had enough contact with minorities, they'll get new training. The governor wants to limit their access to the motor vehicle on pullovers for equipment infractions. This is interesting to me. There's two sides to this coin. If police pull you over for having a light out, you know, say your blinker doesn't work or you don't signal, minor infractions like that, they want to eliminate the right to do a search. Is this good? Does this make us safer? Well, specifically, does it make minorities safer who are vulnerable to bad treatment from the cops? Do cops do bad treatment? Is that part of their repertoire? Or are cops, the vast majority of the time, respectful? Are they the vast majority of the time treating people the way people should be treated? Do you have a feeling on this? Because there is news. There is news about police treatment of citizens that I want to run by you and see what you think. You recall that a couple of months ago, I think it was during May, there was a state trooper who was all over the news with a video. He pulled somebody over. The guy was mouthing off to him and provoked the cop. I was sympathetic with the cop at the time. But the police officer still responded in a way that was inappropriate. It was kind of funny, but it was inappropriate how much rage he had pent up and how much it came out, how much frustration he expressed and how he couldn't let go of his frustration. Trooper Matthew Spina, or Spina, a 19-year veteran of the state police captured in that video, screaming profanities and commands as he orders a man out of his vehicle on Pearl Harbor Memorial Bridge in New Haven back in May. That case is back in the news because there are state police are said to be circulating commemorative coins that have been made in honor of what the trooper Spina had to say. One is this is what it is. One is a medallion that has the state police badge in the center, surrounded by a blue circle with the badge. Picture that. And above that, where the Latin stuff would normally be written, in a circle around the exterior, the last little, you know, eighth of an inch. At the top, it says, "You're bleeped. How's that sound?" Question mark. Quotes from the cop. And at the bottom, it says, "It's called Shut the Bleep Up." And then there's another one that shows a trooper in profile, pointing his finger and blurting out. And on the top, it says, "Mind your own G-darn business." And at the bottom, "You're bleeping speeding." And then coming out of the trooper's mouth in a little bubble, "Sit the bleep down." And this is apparently, allegedly, these medallions are circulating around state troopers like it's a big laugh to them.
Hey, Todd, can I clarify something?
Yes, Mike, clarify.
I could be wrong, but my impression was that it's just one medallion and the two different
faces. Oh, those
faces.
Are the two sides of it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure those are two sides that you were describing.
Oh, good. That makes even more sense.
Yeah, two sides of the same coin.
And that makes it more powerful, that one coin.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's two sides to the coin, though.
There are always two sides to the coin.
At least. All right, thank you for that clarification, Mike. So there you have the two sides and the clarification from Mike. It's been 2 months since this happened, and supposedly these two sides to the single coin are being circulated. What's your reaction to this? Does this, do you cut the police slack on this kind of thing? Or is this the kind of unprofessionalism that makes it hard to relate and hard to defend state police or other cops for that matter? Should there be a celebration or laughter? It seems to me this is letting off steam. It's too bad that it happens because it's kind of a black eye for state police to one, have the video circulate, to have the bad news of an abusive cop be on video and circulating. Not physical abuse, just verbal abuse. But enraged and frustrated, and police officers should be expected to be professionals. That's my issue with it. I want cops to be professionals. I want them also to be paid as professionals, by the way. I don't think police should have to work 90 hours a week to make a decent living. I don't know how many hours. Could somebody call in, please, and tell me how many hours you have to work as a cop to make $100,000 a year, say? Because that's what it takes now to support a family, doesn't it? It takes $100,000 a year if the wife's going to stay home, or the husband if the wife is the trooper. 860-522-9842. I want to get a feeling for your take on this, because I think cops should be elevated. The part of the issue we have, part of the reason there's so much conflict, is one, of course, the unions, which make the police a What puts them in a position where they're so protected, they're sort of a contractor providing services, that they're protected from they're protected by, I don't know how to describe it, but they're insulated. It's not like they work for who they're working for. It's like they're contractors coming in to perform a job and there's not direct control over them. This is what concerns me in part two, is I want them to be treated like professionals. So that means you don't work an eight-hour shift and then do a detail for another 8 hours and then have 8 hours off and come back and work your next shift. That's not professional life, is it? For the level of stress, shouldn't police be paid a higher salary with much higher expectations? 860-522-9842. I'd like to see them not be exhausted. And I'm amazed how exhausted cops are sometimes. Let's get Nate in Litchfield. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Todd. So the answer to your question is 50 hours a week. If, and I stress if, you are at your top rate.
Wait, 50 hours a week. What was my question?
How many hours cops have to work to make $100,000 a year?
So is that 40 hours plus 10 hours of doing detail or something?
So the way the union does it is they do a pay progression. Every 2 years, you get an extra X amount of dollars. So starting off your first 2 years, you get a certain amount. And then after 2 years, you get another amount. And then 4 years, and then 8 years. So 8 years, you get your top rate, which is, for most departments, it's right around $47 an hour. For state mm-hmm. police, it's roughly 50. Like starting off, the younger cops, they take as much overtime as possible just to get that amount. So I know not from personal experience, but from talking to a bunch of my friends who are police officers, they at top rate, you only have to work roughly 50 hours a week to make $100,000.
And what's your sense of how much they do work? Is $100,000 acceptable to them, or do they try to pack on hours so they can make way more than that?
Every police officer that I know that makes over $100,000 a year, they're either in the middle of a divorce or are divorced. So,
you're saying, the cause of the divorce is that they work
Correct.
Too many hours.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. Not that they're working the extra hours to pay for the divorce.
No, you could do that too. But the police officers I know, they love, I mean, just like any other job, you love working overtime. So you could provide for your kids, take your wife on a nice vacation, et cetera, drive a fancy car. But, I mean, at what cost is it to your home life? You know what I mean? So.
Well, not just your home life, because if your wife is miserable because you're so miserable from how many hours you're working, then that's going to be taken out on the people you're interacting with at work, right?
It's a give and take, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So. All right, Nate, thank you for the insight. Appreciate hearing from you. 860-522-9842. We'll take a quick break. We'll take more calls on WTIC. Yeah. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? Bad boys. We're talking about them. WTIC, police officers. They've got state cops have a medallion that's being passed around. They say that's kind of a celebration of a rant that one of their officers did a couple months ago that was written up, caught on video, all over the news. And I'm wondering your reaction to this whole thing and what it reveals about police officers. Does it reveal too much stress? Does it reveal them being overworked? I'm suggesting that a more professional approach to the way police are paid, that is to be salaried, to have high levels of professionalism attached to the job, maybe to have them do different things. Maybe they're not being used. I don't even know what state police do because they're not that visible out on the roads. Everybody's speeding around the state. The average speed is way over the speed limit, is it not? 860-522-9842. Next up, Matt in New Hartford. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Todd. Hey, something you said prompted me to call. First of all, I just want you to know, or the listeners to know, that I am totally for full funding of the police. I'm totally against this bogus defund the police stuff. But on the other hand, we, you know, when you were talking about, you know, overtime versus a little more pay or whatever, one of our problems right now in Connecticut and the state police and state unions is the fact that the last 3 years, they will double up on overtime, like you said, 8 hours and then eight hours, and then make twice their amount of money and sometimes more because it's a time and a half on the other overtime. And so a typical police officer making 80 to 90,000 could be collecting a pension based on $230,000 of their last 3 years. That is putting us in the hole. And what we need to do is hire more police and stop this overtime towards pension. That has to stop. It's killing the state.
Yeah, so what you're laying out is that if we actually treated police like professionals, paid them substantially more, and got rid of the grotesque criminal union scam that the Democrats have forced onto the state, that there would be so much money saved, it would be stunning. And the problems with police would presumably go away because they'd be responsive to the people, responsive to the politicians. They'd be professional people. Yeah. There could be higher levels of training and all that.
Right, because if you look at it, somebody goes in at 22, they get 25, 30 years in, they're out at 50-something, and then we're paying for them until they're 85. And
For another 35 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a scam. But, you know, the police, it's there, and the police use it. And like I say, I'm not against fair pay or anything like that, but I am against ripping off the taxpayers.
Well, no, what you're coming out for is fair pay. And fair pay would be with the combination of getting rid of the unions, which have to go. They are a grotesque crime against humanity and a ripoff of the people. What is Brian is accusing me of being a bootlicker. Hello, Brian.
Hey, buddy. How's it going? I'm usually
thanks for the call.
Side, man, cops got a great deal. They make plenty of money. You tell me someone else with a high school education that's making six figures a year will work as much OT as we can, and we'll never get that. Nobody's making six figures a year. So that's, again, their sacrifice that they make with their retirements, the same thing as all the rest of the retirements. But they're treated as professionals. They're treated as you treat them as how they are. Just because one.
But it's not. It's not professional to work all these extra hours, and to have to spend 3 years working your butt off, as the previous caller just described, so that you can scam the retirement system. I mean, all that stuff that's awful for cops, and it's awful for the consumers of police services, is it not?
Well, what do you think every working man is doing out there, working two, three jobs, Todd? There's not so much room at the top. We're all doing that. We all work weekends. We all work second shifts. We all break our humps. We don't even clear close to $100,000 a year. We're lucky.
Yes,
but
so I'm with you that they should not be getting overpaid for their services. I'm with you. I assume you're with me that you should not be working three jobs to finance their glorious 35-year retirements, making more money as retirees than we make as working people. Let's revamp the whole thing and put it straight. So how would you structure a police officer's day? Wouldn't you want to see him work an 8 or 10 hour shift, get paid a good salary, and elevate the level of what he's doing? So there's simply no excuses for the kind of garbage the police are in the center of the big stories in the country.
So sure they are. So they make their money on OT, usually on construction jobs where they are needed. But how about then go get rid of the Walmart cop then, Todd? That's your first place. Get rid of the Walmart cop. How about that?
Well, what is the Walmart cop?
There's one, but how I understood it with the contract was in their last 5 years, they get the last three, and that's what they retire on, but they've done away with that. They've been smart enough. They're writing that out. But I will still say like I told Mike, the only reason why you, Mike, and I aren't cops is because we had poor high school guidance. If they told us what a sweet deal it is, 20 years in and out, Todd, we'd both be retired, and we'd be on the radio working off of our pensions.
Yeah, well, and the station would be happy, too. Thank you for that, Brian. My guidance counselor in high school actually came pretty close. He said to me, he looked at my grades, and he said, have you thought about going into the military? That was my guidance counselor. Thank you, Brian. 860-522-9842. We will pause for news and then take more phone calls on WTIC. WTIC, we're talking police and state police and local police and all of them. How do we make them more professional? And we've also, well, Mike and I got into a conversation about guidance counselors after my comment on my guidance counselor and the lack of guidance that I got. And I'm wondering if that kind of fits into the same picture, if anybody has any experience with that. Is this whole deal of working for the government, is it just a poisoned thing because of the relationship between government workers and their employers, elected Democrats, who want to make sure they're remunerated as abundantly as possible so that they become loyal voters and supporters and campaign workers and stuff like that? 860-522-9842. And let's see who's been waiting the longest. It looks like Robert from Guilford. Hi, Robert.
How are you today, Todd?
Happy to hear from you, Robert.
Well, I have a little bit of knowledge on this. I did 37 years as a police officer, and I was also a vice president of the union. And the whole purpose.
Okay, was this a local police department?
This is a local police department. Mm-hmm. The purpose of the union was to try and make our working conditions a little better. I remember when I first started in 79, it wasn't uncommon for you to be ordered in for, let's say, the evening shift from 4 to 12, and then because they were shorthanded, you were ordered to go to work from midnight to 8 in the morning. Go home, get another, maybe you'd get 8 hours sleep, and then back to work. Again at 4 o'clock, and that was the main stride for the union. Now you talk.
Are you saying you were there when your department became unionized and you were part of that movement?
We were a unionized department at the time, and they did negotiate wages and retirement benefits. Recently, our particular department gave away our pension program to a 401k, but it did cost the town and the remaining officers there got a significant benefit for that concession.
So it was a buyout.
Exactly, it was exactly a buyout.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
And so now those officers that are coming on the job now, They contribute a lot more than we did into our pension program. A lot of these.
It's still a pension program. It's not a 401k.
No, our department, my former department, is now a 401, and the pension program. The only remaining officers were grandfathered in, and I think we're down to one right now, is still on the pension program, and when he is retired, that will be the end of the defined benefit.
Why did the union go along with that?
It was such a good deal. I mean, for every 4 years of service you received, you got an added year to your pension. So we always consider we ate our young is what happened. We sold out the newer officers.
Yes.
for a benefit that we received. So
yeah, it's kind of like, it's sort of like what we're doing with all of our government these days.
Exactly.
We're punishing our grandchildren for the lifestyle we've grabbed for ourselves. So what's your point about all this? What do
I mean, we talk about you know, now that we have, you know, from my former department, we have all these young officers coming in, and now I see what the state is trying to do with some of the for example, they have immunity. I forget what the exact clause was.
Well, describe it without using the exact terms.
The qualified immunity is what it is. And
okay.
What that opens up is not only the officer being sued personally, but also the town's going to be sued too. So, you know, it really makes you stop and pause on why would you even consider a career where you could possibly first be injured, second, lose your income, lose your house, and everything else,
So what would you? How would you remedy the current situation, though?
Well, first of all, I would consider not so much bringing back the pension program or. You know,
well, I meant more in terms of the with regard to the qualified immunity. There is a feeling that cops are so immune from responsibility for their bad behavior that something needs to change. Do you agree?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. You know, I was sued in federal court for an alleged issue, a civil rights violation. I was exonerated along with another officer. So, I mean, and if you go through something like that, it does change. It changes your perspective.
Yes, I understand your disdain for that. But do you agree there's a problem? And
no.
If so, how would you fix it?
You know, I mean, there's always going to be bad employees, whether they're bad cops, bad doctors, bad lawyers.
Yes, but we're at the other end of the spectrum right now where there is the political infrastructure rigs the system in such a way that the bad ones are protected so they can keep doing the bad things, which when you are carrying the gun and the authority of the state and you can do whatever you want to people and face no repercussions, that's problematic, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not disagreeing with you.
I'm just looking. If you're not disagreeing, then what's your solution to that problem?
Well, it's complicated. I mean, there's no doubt that the state wants to ensure that the public is getting the best protection that they can.
All right. I've got to go, Robert. Thank you for the call, but you're not getting to the point for me. And this is a simple point. People should not be going to work and working two or three jobs to pay inflated salaries for state workers. State workers should be paid the least, in my mind, and should have there should be no more pensions when the rest of the world has walked away from pensions. The only reason pensions remain is so that the election rigging scheme that unions represent for the Democrats can be maintained. That's my position. Responses, please. 860-522-9842. Robert, thank you for the call. Bill in Southbury, hi.
Hi, Todd?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Todd. In regard to police compensation, listen to some of your thoughts on there. You're absolutely right. And here's the big thing that I see on this. For any town or state to hire policemen, they do not have a problem with hiring or finding people qualified to do this work. And in business, I'm in manufacturing. If you get a high head count on a position, you're looking to fill consistently. What they do, what we do, we call timeout and we talk over the numbers and we lower the numbers to get a lower.
In other words, you realize you're overpaying. If you get too many applicants for jobs. Of course. That's what markets do. And the purpose of government is to avoid those practical things that would protect taxpayers so that politicians can rig the system and gain benefits.
Exactly, Todd. Exactly. Well said what you just said. That's exactly what happened. Now, most government jobs fall into that category. They get a high head count for people looking for the jobs and are well qualified. Policemen are, to hire a policeman is not a problem. That's probably the worst or the position or the job that has the highest head count. Almost everybody wants to be a cop, it seems like. So they don't, the numbers are way up there. If they dropped it down, there you go. You're going to still find qualified people. And I heard one of your other callers calling about, you know, having a college degree. Well, when you've got 50 or 100 people qualified for a position and 20 of them, 20% have a college degree, and you like that person, you're probably going to choose them. And the final answer on if you get selected over the other 50 guys is because the mayor or the chief happens to like you personally for whatever reason. Now, the other thing that falls in with in this category...
Well, wait a sec. When you say they like you for whatever reason, what you mean is there's some kind of personal connection and they're doing a favor for somebody.
That falls... Yes, that also. And now that's not something you go out and say out loud to anybody, but that's always part of it. And a lot of that, what categorizes that is what you would call nepotism. That falls into
yes.
the category also. But the main thing is if you get a high headcount consistently for a position... You got to call timeout and lower the numbers on this.
Of course.
Yes.
But government, this is the problem with government. The people in power think it's their job to squeeze all the benefits for themselves out of the power in order to maintain the longevity of their careers. Whether
Absolutely.
They're a police chief or an elected official, government has become a scam that rips off the people who pay for it.
That's absolutely true, Todd. And listen, I don't care how much a policeman or how much money somebody makes. If to find somebody qualified for the position, if that's what it costs to get a few good people you can look at, that's what it costs. Hiring policemen don't fall into that category. So, you know, as far
Thank
as
you,
overtime
Bill.
Goes, that's part of the job. It's inevitable.
Well, I don't know why it's inevitable. They should be paid as professionals. Why can't they be paid as professionals? Part of being a professional is you do the job that needs to be done. If there's a few extra hours, you don't sweat it. It's your career.
Correct.
I don't like this whole mentality of where you should always be getting more out of your job. And then you create this war, these warring factions, the people versus the union guys. And the union guys are conspiring to take as much as they can. And everybody forgets, especially in the glorification era. Thank you for the call, Bill. In the glorification era, remember when they used to talk about union guys, like union guys were the only working people there were? People, they call it public service. If you're going into public service, go into public service because you want to serve the public. Not because public service is code for, boy, what a scam this is. Boy, what a good deal this is. If you want a great retirement in your 50s, does anyone know what the numbers are? I don't remember the numbers, but they're pretty lopsided, I believe, on what it is that is paid out for state retirees versus what is paid in. This is a crazy world. And this is what's happened in the schools, by the way, as well. Anything connected to the government. I mean, schools should just be, the money should just be taken out of the hands of the government and given to private sector entities. There should be, you should have vouchers. I don't even like the word voucher. It suggests a specific system. Anything you're buying should be in a market-driven system if you want to make sure the people are getting the best benefit. For some reason, politicians got it in their head. It's their job to rip off the people they represent. And that's the world we're living in today and we're trying to struggle with and come to terms with. 860-522-9842. Quick break. We'll take some more phone calls on WTIC. WTIC, we're talking about whether professionalizing police in some way beyond where they are now and changing the pay structure so it's not overtime-based. but it's professionalism based. Higher levels of education required, higher expectations in terms of attitude. There's this story going around that there's a vulgar medallion celebrating the vulgarity of a state trooper out on the highway a couple of months ago. And this medallion has curses in it, and it just shows, you know, on the one hand, you want to cut slack for it because cops deal with a lot of stress, and if they let that stress off by acting like dopey teenagers, you know, maybe that's just goes with the territory. But at the same time, it would be nice to have cops who make a ton of money be professionals, and some restructuring is called for, is the way I'm looking at it. 860-522-9842. Joe in Harwinton. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Go ahead, Joe.
I was wondering if you had covered anything on this this bill that's been proposed by a group called Desegregate Connecticut regarding zoning for municipalities.
What zoning in particular?
Basically, the fact that the state is going to be that they want the state to take over zoning instead of local control, so the state would.
Yes, this is the basically the Democrats. They seem to have this macro plan now to eliminate cities and towns, or eliminate towns. They don't like suburbs, the liberals,
and they want to
figure out a way to shift power away from suburbs to the cities so they can take care of their illegal immigrants better. I think.
Exactly, because a lot of these regulations are, well, first of all, it's being, you know, they're just like everything else. They're trying to jam it through the special session, which, you know, they're taking advantage of the, you know, immediacy and the whole Black Lives Matter movement and momentum and stuff like that. So they know that this thing can't stand on its own merits. So they wanted to jam it through. And of course, you know, there's really not too many Republicans anyway to, you know, stand in their way. So,
and they seem to have gone into hibernation if they exist.
Well, yeah, that too, unfortunately. So I'm hoping, you know, there are some Republican leaders out there that could take up this charge and take up this mantle and, you know, kind of block this thing because it's ridiculous. I mean, you know,
what are the specifics in this that have you provoked?
I guess, first of all, 10% of the land in towns greater than 5,000 residents be zoned for two and four unit small scale developments, basically multifamily housing. You know, you have to zone for multifamily housing, even if you're.
So this would require suburbs. There are some suburbs that have like 2 acre minimums in order to build a house because they want to have a rural thing going on. And one of the great things, it seems to me, about Connecticut is how there are these huge swaths of the state that have lots of land and where people do have these large properties. It's a beautiful state. And
correct.
Why would you want
that.
To destroy that? Well, you want to destroy it because you want to turn over. I mean, it's really a war between constituencies. The Democrats represent cities. They want all the power in the cities. They want to dismantle the suburbs in order to give benefits to their their favorite people, illegal immigrants and people on the dole. That's their voters. They want to hand them a lot of free stuff. Why should towns not have the right to create their own worlds?
Exactly. And well, not speaking of creating their own world, eliminate the consideration of the character of an area in approving projects. So basically,
yes, well put.
You could have a big box store, you know, just plunked in the middle of a cornfield, you know, or in the middle of a historic district, you know. So you know that completely takes away from that. You know, this is very similar to
Joe, where last year they were talking about, I don't know if they're still pursuing this, but they were talking about trying to dismantle the local school systems by forcing them to combine with the city nearby so they could skim the money out of the suburbs and away from the more affluent parents there, and so they could be funding the education of urban kids. Thank you, sir, for the call. It's a good topic right there, what Joe's talking about, something everybody should be aware of.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.